In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Normally, eavesdropping on someone is a no-no. From our youngest years, our parents taught us that it's impolite and downright rude to listen in to a conversation that was never intended for our ears. But we also know how tempting it is to listen to such a conversation, right? I mean, you hear a little buzz at the back of the church or at the restaurant, and you, like, lean back a little bit. We know it's tempting. Perhaps it's the forbidden fruit aspect of it that attracts us and causes us to, you know, lean forward or to the side and try to listen a conversation that isn't ours. In today's gospel reading from John chapter 17, we observe and hear Jesus. Maybe in the upper room or on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. But it's just a few hours before he would be lifted up on the cross for the sins of the whole world. While he waits for the next step in the divine plan of redemption to unfold, Jesus seizes the opportunity to go to his Father in prayer. John chapter 17 is what we call the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And we see what is taking place. And we ignore our parents' advice for a moment, and we find ourselves kind of eavesdropping on Jesus here a little bit. So what did he say? What is he talking about as he prays to the Father? What is Jesus praying about? What is Jesus praying about? Well, maybe Jesus is praying about those people that lived long ago. Those people that ate and drank and walked and talked with him while he was here on earth. And certainly that's true. As Jesus starts to pray before our gospel reading for today, we might become a little uncomfortable thinking our parents were right all along, that we are eavesdropping on a conversation that doesn't concern us. Previously, in verses 1 through 5 of John chapter 17, Jesus prays for himself, that his Father would give him the strength and guide him through all that stood before him at that hour, especially the cross, and that through it all, the glory of the Father would be seen in Jesus as he redeemed the world. Then in verses 6 through 19 of John 17, Jesus also prays for his disciples, particularly the 11. He asks the Father to keep them as one, united in the faith that he had taught them, and that they would carry those teachings forward to those who had not yet come to faith. Jesus actually says in his prayer right before our gospel reading for today, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." As you can see, this prayer starts off to be about Jesus and his disciples. So what business do we have listening to Jesus' prayer? None of our business, we may be tempted to think, but as we continue to listen, we become a little shocked because we start to hear that this conversation, this prayer, actually does include us. See, the gospel reading for today begins with the third part of Jesus' high priestly prayer. Here he expands his prayer to include the entire world and all who would ever live on the earth. He asks that the profound mysteries of the gospel would be proclaimed to all people of all time so that they too, through faith, would become one with the Father and himself and receive the gift of eternal life that he would accomplish in the hours that were before him. Incredibly, deep within his passion, with the cross approaching in just a few hours, Jesus takes time to pray also for those people who would come to faith in the future. Those who would be the recipients of the gospel that was yet to be preached to them. Jesus says in verse 20, I do not ask for these only, meaning the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. His prayer is that this truth, which he has shared with his disciples in his preaching, teaching, miracles, transfiguration, on the third day, his resurrection from the dead, that those things would also be shared with the world. And now listen to this. This is John chapter 17, verse 21. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That the world may believe that you have sent me. Please understand this. Come to grips with the fact that the world includes you and me. Jesus is praying here for you and for me, for the Congregation of Faith Lutheran and the ministry that happens here. As Jesus marched to Golgotha, he has an eye on us, even some 2,000 years in the future, for we are his children due to the countless faithful Christian generations who have presented Jesus to us using the means of grace in word and sacrament. We are included in Jesus' prayer here, for we too have come to faith in him through those means, through our baptism, through the witness of those who have gone before us. You were on Jesus' mind that day. Now, as we continue to eavesdrop, we are very interested in Jesus' words. I mean, us? Why is Jesus praying to the Father about us? I think he has so many other things to worry about at that time. So, you know, what was it that brought us into this divine conversation? Well, we are included in Jesus' prayer because of his incredible and profound eternal love for each one of us. This love is rooted in the perfect love within the Holy Trinity. Love is the way the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always interacted with each other. And this love that was before the foundation of the world, as Jesus tells us today, is extended by God's grace to Jesus' earthly disciples, regardless of the era. Jesus prayed for the present disciples of his day, for Peter, James, John, and the others. For future disciples, he also prays for you and me and countless other faithful disciples who will come, for those around the world today. And we like overhearing this. I like knowing that I was on Jesus' mind that day. This love, we just cannot yet know to its furthest extent. See, in our self-centered, me-first approach to life, we cannot comprehend anyone giving that much of themselves. Maybe a little here, maybe a little philanthropy there, maybe an LCMS organization over there. But giving a life for others who belittle, betray, and beat, and murder you? I mean, that blows our minds. The world doesn't love like this. The love of God from eternity motivated his actions to save mankind. But if we had been in Jesus' position, because of our natural love for self, our prayer would just include us, with no thought of anyone else. I cannot pray for God's kingdom to come when I am totally lost in my kingdom. How can you pray, "Thy will be done," when all I want is that my will to be done? See, we cannot comprehend the breadth, the depth, the height of Jesus' love, but we can believe it. We can believe it. We can hold on to it. We can trust the love of Jesus when our worlds are crumbling to pieces. We can trust this love of Christ when the false idols we worship turn to ashes before our eyes. Today, we love hearing Jesus pray about us. We rejoice in the conversation that Jesus has with his Father about you and me. See, this love about which Jesus prays gives our Lord the desire, the will to accomplish the salvation of all mankind. Nothing could or nothing would stop him from accomplishing his mission. The power of Satan was not too strong for him. The magnitude of our sins was not too great. The power of our hatred or anger or lust or pride or lack of self-control, no booze ever power, no drug ever mixed, nothing could keep the love of Jesus from his task. The God-man Jesus, whom we overhear praying to his Father today, would pay the price for the sins of all in the next agonizing hours. He would die and then rise again 3 days later, and the result would be the redemption for all for whom he prayed. See, Jesus' work includes us, you and me, and all people, for all time and beyond. It's rooted in eternity and endures to eternity. Jesus' work of breaking death into bits endures for all eternity. It's done. It's finished. It's accomplished. And we love eavesdropping on this good news. And even though it seems there are days when the enemy is doing quite well, when we see terrible events like what happened this past week in Texas, take heart. Take heart. The righteous Father will judge all people at the proper time. Those who do evil and reject Christ and his work, thinking it all to be irrelevant or not needed, will remain dead in their sins. And this we may not want to hear, to overhear, but we need to, because sin is killing us and everyone. That's why Jesus is praying for them right now too. That his name go out to all the world, that they will hear the gospel and believe it. And by believing, they have forgiveness and life in his name. He desires no one to be lost, but that all would come to be one with him. Those who have come to repentance and faith in Jesus receive the forgiveness of sins he earned for all people on the cross. In that forgiveness of sins is eternal life itself, to dwell with God in heaven and see his face and share in his glory forever. And we have just a small foretaste of what's to come every time that we meet together here around his word and sacraments. The will of God, motivated by his eternal love, brings this gift to all of us. Even though our parents have taught us that eavesdropping is a no-no, as we begin eavesdropping on Jesus in this prayer to his Father, we initially may have thought that this conversation had not much to do with us. But as we continue to listen, much to our great surprise and joy, we see that we are included and we are the objects of Jesus' prayer. In fact, there never was really any need to eavesdrop anyway. You see, Jesus wants us to hear this. He wants us to hear his prayer so that we will have more confidence that our place by his side in heaven is certain and secure. And there, in heaven, in his eternal love and glory, we will reign with him forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.